Las Vegas is not the easiest of places in which to be an observant Muslim. The city trades on vices. They're off limits. Lots and lots of them here. Lust, alcohol, you name it, they're here someplace. And it's not just the culture. During the holy month of Ramadan this year, the city's climate and geography play a role. That, as you can probably imagine, makes it awfully difficult to fast from food and water and drink during the long, hot days of summer. But we've got some guests who are with us today who are not focusing on the difficulties of fasting. Instead, they'll talk about the blessings. Ramadan began June 28th. It ends on July 28th. Mudassir Ali Qureshi is one of our guests. He is observing the holy month and is an accountant at MGM International, a recent transplant from Chicago. Mudassir, thank you so much for joining us.
Nice to be here.
You've observed Ramadan all over the world. What's your experience in Las Vegas so far? What makes it unique here?
You know, with Ramadan, you get out as much as you put into it. And considering the amount of blessings that are rained down, as far as what we believe in our faith, it's important that no matter where you are, to make sure you maximize the month and attain as many blessings as you can from the month. So being in Las Vegas, yeah, it's a little different than having grown up in Chicago and traveling to the Middle East and to the Far East. I've had privileges of fasting in several places, but there's no one Ramadan that I can say is better than another one, just because you get out of it what you put into it.
Well, describe a typical day, what you would put into a typical day during the month of Ramadan for you.
A typical day for me would be to wake up before sunrise, to eat something that would sustain me throughout the day, something hearty, something, you know, like a bowl of oatmeal or some yogurt. And then to drink some water, drink plenty of water, especially you're in the desert, you're going to need that. And to pray. And after prayer, that signifies the end, the beginning of your fast for the day. And the purpose of fasting is not for you to start your fast and then fall asleep and sleep the entire day and then wake up and then break your fast, because that defeats the purpose of your fast. The purpose of the fast is for you to train your body so that your mind and your soul has some control of your body, so that you're fighting the urge to eat, you're fighting the urge to drink water, and you're fighting, you're becoming more God conscious, you're becoming more involved in your faith. And then when it comes time to break your fast, you feel that much more achieved. You feel like you've accomplished something. So when you do break your fast, you're conscious about what you're eating, of who you're eating with. After you break fast, you pray. During your fast, there's at least two prayers mm-hmm. that you need to observe. And then when you break fast, you would pray once again. And after you break fast, you pray. And then soon after that, probably like 2 hours, you would pray your last prayer of the night, and that's your night prayer. And that's a very important prayer during Ramadan. It's called the Ravi. And the purpose of that is to show God and to show yourself that you're going to be staying up at night praying to God. And once you do that, you go back to sleep, and then you rinse and repeat. Mm. So this month, unlike any other month, is for you, it's the hardships that you go through during this month. It's not necessarily hardships, but it's what you put yourself through during this month that you train yourself for the rest of the year. Because this month, you should be at the peak of your faith. This month, this is the month where you should be giving the most to your community, sort of helping people in need as much as possible, sustaining yourself from eating bad things, cutting out all the bad habits out of your life. So all like, you know, especially for kids, video games and or watching TV or, you know, especially being in Las Vegas, there's a lot of vices here, and it's easy to get, you know, consumed in things that you shouldn't be doing for any faith. So it's important to, you know, prevent yourself from all that stuff and be at the peak at this month, so that once this month ends, you've now trained yourself to be away from those things. So
one thing I wanted to ask you about, this year, Ramadan falls in June and July, some of the longest days of the year.
Yeah.
How does this differ from a Ramadan, say, in December or in early January, where the days are quite a bit shorter?
Well, yeah, the days are quite a bit shorter, and that's because our calendar is based off the lunar calendar. So it changes year to year. Now, fasting now compared to fasting in December, granted, last time we fasted in December, I was probably in middle school at the time. Like I said, the purpose of this month is not necessarily to fast. Fast is something you have to do as part of the obligations of the month, but it's so much bigger than that. The purpose of this month is for you to train your body, to train yourself to be the best Muslim you can be or the best human you can be. And so that what you take away from this month should resonate through the rest of the year until the next Ramadan, where you try to be an even better person, an even better Muslim. So,
now, also with us today, Khadija Bhatti, who is a senior at Green Valley High School. Khadija, welcome to KNPR.
Thank you for having me.
And Hira Moulton is with us as well. She is a biology student at UNLV. Hira, thank you for being here too.
Thank you.
I want to ask all of you, Khadija, let me start with you. What's your favorite time of day during Ramadan? Is it the peace of the early morning? Is it breaking the fast with friends and loved ones? What is the highlight of the day?
For me, the entire day of Ramadan or any day in Ramadan for me is really special. But if I had to pick one moment of the day, I would have to say at nighttime. It's not necessarily because, you know, we get to eat food. You know, that's always a nice thing. But as Mudassir mentioned, that's when the Muslim community, we come together at a local mosque and we convene together in group prayers that is called Taraweeh prayers. So for me, I really love having the opportunity to spend time in a spiritual act with people from Muslim community, my friends and family, in a manner that is so beneficial spiritually. And it's a great feeling to have inside of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Hira Moulton, what about you? What's your favorite time of day during Ramadan?
Well, I agree with her about the entire day, but if I was to choose a certain moment, it would be in the morning when you wake up. Because on a normal day basis, out of Ramadan, I normally just wake up, pray, and then go back to bed. But since in Ramadan, we end up waking up early, I talk to my mom, my brother, we have breakfast, and then we wait till prayer, we pray, and then we go to sleep. So you have that more time early in the morning when, yeah, we're a little grumpy because we're in the middle of our sleep, but we get to connect with each other at a different point in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, this particular time, this particular month of Ramadan, how early are we talking about here?
I usually wake up around 3:30, 3:40-ish. And then
that's pretty early here.
It's very early. It's very early. And then we normally go back to bed around about 4:30 because prayer is around 4:10.
Mm-hmm. But Dasir, when you're spending time each day with Ramadan, who is it around and what's your highlight?
My highlight would definitely be, the Ravi just as well. It's when the community gets together.
The evening prayer.
The evening prayer, mm-hmm. The night prayer. It's more than just you go there and, well, our prayer consists of standing standing for a long time, listening to the recitation of the Quran. But then there's also, an incorporation of community issues, global issues that are talked about. There are issues talked about like, issues, but there's other things talked about like the translation of the Quran, because the Quran is read in Arabic, and you don't quite often find people who understand Arabic or, understand the translation, the meaning. So there's quite a bit of that too. The purpose of this month is for you to get closer to the Quran. And the Quran is everything to us. It's the last book. It's the way to live your life. It's the way to, it's your religion. It's everything to us. And the purpose of this month is for us to get closer to the Quran, because the Quran was initially revealed or began revealing itself to our Prophet Muhammad during the month of Ramadan. So that that's the purpose of the month, we stand in prostration all night, and during that prostration we are reading the Quran. That is the sole purpose reading of it.
That's the ultimate purpose. Yeah. Yeah. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the holy month of Ramadan, when Muslims around the world fast from food and drink during the day. Khadija Bhatti is a senior at Green Valley High School. Yara Moten is a biology student at UNLV, and Mudassir Ali Qureshi is an accountant at MGM. Also with us is Yvonne Maffei, who is the publisher of My Halal Kitchen. She joins us from Chicago. Yvonne, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Ramadan is about fasting, but it's also about food. And why do Muslims break the fast every night with a date, if you will?
Well, it's a beautiful tradition that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to do. And Muslims really love to do the things that he did. And so it's not something obligatory that we have to break our fasts with a date, but everybody loves to do that because of that tradition. So you will find lots and lots of dates in the homes of Muslims around the world at this time.
What are some other dishes that are traditional in your family for Ramadan?
Well, I was not raised observing Ramadan, so I sort of had to borrow from my friends who are Muslim from around the world, and you know, see what was traditional in their homes, and also just incorporate some of my own comfort foods, being half Sicilian and half Puerto Rican. So I've got an interesting ethnicity there.
That's quite a blend, Yvonne.
Yes, it is. It's fun, in terms of it not being completely normal for halal cuisine that people are used to hearing about. But I try my best to just make a variety of different things. But most importantly is following the season in which Ramadan falls, which now we're in the summer. So I really just look at things that make sense for a long fasting day. So when it's time to actually eat, I try to have foods that are nutrient dense, very hydrating, and also just things that I know that are going to taste really good, because there's nothing worse than being really, really hungry and then, having something you're not really too happy with. So I go with tried and true recipes. But I think that, most of my Muslim friends, the traditional foods that they have make such great sense for Ramadan. I mean, we were just at an iftar party this weekend. And iftar is the meal that breaks the fast. And people were making chole, which is a spiced chickpea dish. And it has, some spices with tomatoes. And it's just wonderful. It's something that is eaten around the time that fast is broken, typical for the Indo-Pakistani community. And I just love that kind of thing. It really tastes good. And after you've been fasting for a long day, some flavor in your food is really nice. It's just a really nice day.
I can imagine. Khadija Bhatti, you were the youngest person on the panel. Fasting is not required for children. But tell us a little bit when you started to fast.
I actually started to fast around the age of 8 or 9.
So you were a child when you began this.
Yeah, the really interesting thing is that the common perception of fasting is that it's a very difficult task. But, in the minds of Muslims, it's the complete opposite. In fact, people are excited to start fasting. I remember when I was a kid, my friends always excited to start fasting. And in fact, it was the parents who would hold them back and say that, you're not old enough and it's okay. So the way it starts off is kids do half days. And, once you build up the stamina, then you start to fast the full days. And it's very fulfilling. It's a great thing to do.
So this was agreeable to you right away.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
You took this right away. And as I understand it, you recently traveled to Reno for a camp for high school students. How did you explain this to your fellow campers?
It was actually pretty awesome. It was a fantastic experience. The one nice thing is that, Reno's weather up there is a lot better than here, definitely cooler, so that was the plus. These girls, they're very intelligent, so many of them had a perception of what Ramadan is and things that Muslims do in the month. So explaining what fasting is wasn't as much of a challenge, and, explaining it to them was fantastic because they're very open to it. In fact, they were very fascinated by our traditions and the culture and the religion itself, and it was positive feedback, which is fantastic.
Mm. Now, Yara Moten, but Ramadan is also, it's not just fasting, of course. It is also a time to take an inventory of bad habits. And Odessier was alluding to that earlier, the idea of taking the inventory, setting some of the things mm-hmm. aside that distract you from leading a good life. What are some of the, confess, what are some of the habits you've tried to work on in the past?
Some bad habits. One was waking up in the morning is difficult. Mm-hmm. We all know. So the morning prayer is right before sunrise. And a few years back, that was the hardest thing for me to do. I would set my alarm and it would go off. I would turn it off and then go right back to sleep. So when Ramadan came around and you have to wake up regardless because you want to eat. So I decided that this year, that point in my life, I was going to wake up and I was going to make it a habit to incorporate into my life from here on forth that I would wake up for the prayer. And if I don't know if you've heard, but I've always been told that it takes 30 days to incorporate any habit into your life. And Ramadan is from 29 to 30 days. So that is the best time to incorporate any habit you want in your life. And that's the point. And ever since then, I have been able to wake up in the morning and pray.
Mm-hmm. Hadija, when you were 8 years old, were you thinking in those terms as well? There are these things you're supposed to look at that you shouldn't do or should
absolutely not. I have an older brother and a lot of older cousins, and I remember I would see them fast and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And so, you know, I wanted to do what the cool kids were doing. And so that was really, for me, fasting was just something. It was a popular trend and I wanted to be like them. So that's how it was.
We have had guests on in the past and talking about that in the Muslim world, things slow down during Ramadan. And I think you alluded to this a little bit earlier, that people are fasting. They may not necessarily get 8 hours of sleep. At the same time, in the United States, Muslims are a minority, and many people may not understand fasting. Does that make it more difficult or maybe more fulfilling?
That actually...
Modessa?
To me, makes it quite more fulfilling. You know, I take pride and I take joy in explaining why I do the things I do. For me, it's because it's the most logical way of thinking, and it's the way that brings me closer to God. And that's why I choose to follow the faith I follow. So, you know, when I started fasting this month for Ramadan, and you know, I recently relocated here from Chicago last year, so this is actually only my second Ramadan. So there's a lot of people I meet at work who are always asking me, why do you fast, you know? And there's nothing more than that I take joy in giving them a well thought out explanation of why I do what I do. And I always find an audience that is accepting of what I'm telling them. And it, not only because it's the faith that I follow, but also because it just makes sense, the reasoning behind it. It's the reasoning to refrain from the things that consume your life on a yearly basis, those unnecessary things, those meaningless hours spent on Facebook, those meaningless hours watching programs on TV that don't bring any benefit into your life. It's that time you spend with your, that added time you're spending with your community, getting to know your neighbor. Just last week I found myself, I was shopping and there was this a homeless person who was asking for food and for water. So I took them to Tropical Smoothie right next door. Mm-hmm. I was like, let me buy you something to eat, let me buy you something to drink. And you know what? I'm not in a rush, so you know what? Let me sit down and have a conversation with you. What is your name? Getting to know them, because one thing to just, you know, give someone some money or give them a bottle of water while driving by or give them some change out of your car window. There's another thing to get to know them as a human being. So, you know, those type of activities you want to increase during this month. That's what this month is about, is getting to know your neighbor.
Yvonne Maffei, as Modessa has just articulated, one of the reasons for the fasting is to create some empathy among Muslims for the poor and the hungry. How do you honor that with the food that you prepare and the food that is served?
I think you just really gain an appreciation for everything that you have in Ramadan. And hopefully it's beyond the month. But one thing I've learned, I'm definitely in the food world, and I guess what you would call a foodie, is that, you know, you don't really eat as much as you think you do. And Ramadan teaches you that because your stomach obviously, it gets a little smaller during the month. You don't feel like you couldn't handle as much food as normally you would. And it really goes to show that maybe we are wasting a lot of food at other times of the year. And so I think it puts my whole shopping methods in check. It puts my whole perspective on, you know, what's really necessary on a day-to-day basis in check. And when you do feel hunger, you look at people without in such a different way. You really have felt what they feel on a daily basis, and that their fast is constant. You know, yours you can break with food and family, and you really just gain that empathy for the rest of the world. And there's so many people today that I think it's becoming, you know, more and more prevalent to hear about stories of people who are just looking for their daily bread. And I think that, you know, when we talk about food and recipes, you know, that can be fun and everything, but I do see something so beautiful about the Muslim community is that we do put each other in check and tell ourselves, you know, we need to be grateful for this because there are so many people who don't have it. And then it puts people to action to, you know, donate food to our local mosque or pantry, food pantry in our communities. It just really makes you kind of think about what I don't need all of the things I have. So let's donate, let's give more in charity. Let's think about the people who we may not see, but we know that they're out there and they're in need. And because once you feel the pang of hunger, it's a different feeling than just knowing that there are hungry people in the world. You know, I think that that's the difference that fasting really provides for you, is that when your tummy starts to grumble, you're not, you have to keep going until it's time to break that fast. And then you really realize, you know, what it means to keep going hungry and not just grabbing for that bite to eat to satisfy it.
Khadija Bhatti, as you said, you had older cousins and you thought the whole process of fasting during the month of Ramadan was just a really, really cool thing to see. And you wanted to be a part of that. I get the sense that all of you have been talking about the idea of fasting as not an ordeal, not something to be suffered necessarily, but to give you a certain understanding of things in the world. I get the sense that this month is a highlight for you. It's something you look forward to.
It definitely is, without a doubt. I think, you know, going throughout the year, we get so caught up in our day-to-day routines that we forget to place emphasis on things that truly matter, and we get sidetracked by a lot of things that don't have as much meaning. And Ramadan gives Muslims the opportunity to reverse that and put emphasis on things that truly matter. So, you know, giving back to others, charity is a huge ideal. Self-control, self-restraint, improving your character and morale, these are all important things. That's what I love about Ramadan. It gives you that opportunity and the time to promote these aspects of yourself and your environment, which also does the same.
Hira Moden, as you we're about halfway through Ramadan right now, a little bit more. What would you say is the one thing, maybe the one thing above all, you're trying to achieve for yourself as this holy month unfolds?
Self-control of everything. There's not a single thing in general that I want to have control over. Just my entire life, being able to control who I talk to, what we talk about, what comes out of my mouth, what I go to watch, what I go to see, everything in general that I can control for myself, because I want to be able to restrain myself from everything that we shouldn't be doing. And this is the best time for me to be able to control it. Whereas, like she said, we get so busy in our lives that we forget to sit down and think, what am I doing with myself? Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? And that's the time. This is the time of the year for us where we can look at ourselves and give ourselves a test. Like, am I doing everything right? What path am I following right now?
Ramadan concludes on July 28th. We've been talking about the month of Ramadan with Hira Moten, who is a biology student at UNLV, Mudassir Ali Qureshi, who is an accountant with MGM, Khadija Bhatti, a senior at Green Valley High School, and Yvonne Maffei, publisher of My Halal Kitchen. Thank you all very much for joining us today. It's great having you here.